cliffcentral.com.
Here we are. We're live. It's Friday morning on cliffcentral.com. It's also not the worst day in Bitcoin. I mean, it's not the best, but we're at $30,000. So if you're watching that price, good for you. You're probably feeling a little bit better than you did this time last week, but not that much better. Also, the U.S. stock market seem to be making some kind of return to normality. We can only hope. Either way, I hope you're ready for a good weekend. There's lots to talk about. There's plenty of really interesting stuff happening in the news. And in case you missed yesterday's burning platform, I would advise you to go back and take a listen. Because burning platform yesterday was on fire. Pumi was full of the usual beans. But we had an incredible discussion. And a very interesting guest, Sully Moyang, who was on like a fire yesterday too. So lots of things to talk about. Okay, I do want to get to this. I had a really interesting conversation with an Uber driver on Saturday last week. In fact, it was 2 weeks ago now. This guy used to be in the police, and he ended up deciding that that wasn't for him because he got into, among other things, the firefight. He got shot in a massive cash and transit heist on Bayers Nordea. So he was telling me that this was the reason that his family eventually decided, hey, listen, dude, they sent him down and they said to him, you need to get out of this. It's not good for you. So he agreed, reluctantly. Being in the police was all he knew. So he said to them, look, I'll get out of this. What do you think I should do? They all said, whatever. He said, cool, I'll do Uber driving, which is exactly what he ended up doing. He told me something interesting, which I didn't realize. Like, apparently in the police, when you have resigned from the police and you've decided to move on to other things, the police actually can encourage you to keep your firearms. Now, this is especially relevant, I think, in respect of the discussion we had last week about gun violence in America and whether or not that situation applies in South Africa. The reason that they tell police to keep their firearms in South Africa, if you've been in the police, is because once you leave the police, according to him, there are probably a lot of people who don't like you and who want you dead. So it's better that you are armed than that you find yourself a victim, which I thought was really, really interesting. He said his dad was in the army, this Uber driver. He's probably 43, 44, and his dad is in his 70s. And he said his dad is now retired from the army, obviously, very much so, and lives in near Mafikeng somewhere. And he said his dad has lots of guns. And it got me thinking, you know, I mean, in South Africa, we have all these points of view about people who have guns. We have points of view about people who've been in the armed forces. We have a point of view about people who've been in the police. But it's interesting to me, like, you're going to have so many enemies when you've been in the police, especially if you've managed to convict somebody. You know, you don't remember what term, what prison sentence they were given. And then they get out of prison and they come looking for you, which I think is terrifying. I mean, can you imagine anything more horrifying than that? Anyway, this guy was telling me a lot of interesting stories. He's got three kids. And I love talking to Uber drivers. You really learn an enormous amount about places and things and jobs that you might not have thought about when you talk to these people. Being in the police is horrible. It's tough. It's mean. It's filled with very, very dangerous people. He said one of the reasons he left the police was because it's just absolutely impossible to stay in the good books of the people at the top, which is pretty wild. I mean, especially if you can think just for a second about how, you know, that changes all the time. You've got Becky Trele 1 minute, then you've got this guy, and you've got this police commissioner. I mean, it's really, really quite wild. So EP47 says in the comments, poisoning colleagues left, right, and center, generals face a lot of stress. Hey, listen, I mean, I'm just talking about an ordinary police officer. I think this guy was he was a lieutenant, must have been. So loads of really interesting conversations to be had with Uber drivers. And I encourage you, if you ever find yourself in an Uber, not to just sit there on your phone like a boring asshole, but actually talk to them. Give me a second. I should blow my nose. I'm still dealing with the remnants of this cold. It's lots of fun. This is what you come for. You come here for the bodily noises, right? Just do this. This is so much fun. I know. This is what you wait for. Amazing. Isn't that great? So much fun. All right, we got Ben coming in a moment or two. Pitleng says, this show is like a government department. Nothing ever starts in time. You know what, Pitleng? You have the option every single day to just leave. I am way past actually putting in any kind of fight to keep people here who are not meant to be here anymore. There's no Leanne. We're not going to have Leanne on Fridays anymore. What we're going to do on Fridays is I'm going to start off with a little bit of an issue every Friday, but this is the first one, so I wanted to just test the waters first. And then Ben joins around 6:20, and then we've got Jason Goliath today, so it's going to be a nice action-packed full show. But Leanne is going to be Mondays, Tuesdays will be Lebang, Wednesdays will be Simpiwe, and usually a guest host, Thursdays will be Pumi, and Fridays will be Ben. So we've got a lot to talk about. We've got a lot of really cool guests, co-hosts, all the rest of it. I would love to hear your thoughts on that. Nico says that cold was caused by the tequila last Friday. So I actually met Nico. He was he works at one of the game farms at the place that I went to last week. Very good to meet you. You know what? I always love to meet people who listen to the show because they never look or sound like you expect them to. And he's been a listener for some time. But no, it wasn't the tequila. I can promise you, Nico, I'm completely immune to that shit. It would have been the cold weather and the fact that I wasn't wearing a jacket, which is stupid. Parallel Parking says, there is a strange breathing sound overlaying your voice, Gareth. That's not a breathing sound. That's my alter ego who lives in the room and sometimes involves themselves in the show. Them. They're non-binary. Arietta says, first morning listening live in a while, been booked off with the Rona. Sorry about that. Jesse wants to know, is there going to be an Bulelo guest appearance? Well, I hope so. He did say that he's going to join us for a show. In fact, I think he's going over to Europe in June, the end of June sometime. It is June now. But before he goes, he said he'd make an appearance. Michael says, what? Thursdays and Fridays for me. Yes, Michael, we know you love Pumi, and we know you love Ben. We aim to please. What can I say? It'll be lots of fun. David says, come to Dubai. Sweat out that cold in minutes. You know, I want to ask this question, actually. Do you think that a cold or flu is helped by things like saunas or steam rooms? Because, you know, at the gym there's a sauna, obviously. I won't go near it if I'm sick, but I believe that there are reasons that you should. That's what somebody told me the other day. All right, Beth says, I drove through Ermelo last week and couldn't remember the name of Phil's dealership. My husband just started naming all the ones he saw, and finally we got to DeWitt Motors. Yes, it is DeWitt. That is the one that Phil works at and that Phil is part of. And I actually drove past them the other day, too, on my way to this thing where I met Nico in KZN. Very, very good. On Instagram, you cannot use we as a pronoun in your bio. Well, you can't use we as a pronoun in your bio, and you shouldn't be able to use it in a sentence either because it's bad English. Have you considered who will hold the fort on Tuesdays when Lebang goes to have her little person? Yes. Well, we are kind of training Bakabantu in the background. So he's potentially someone, and I know people like him. So we'll see how he goes. Cheryl has some health advice. Just chew on raw ginger and then throw back with honey and lemon. It helps. All right. I'll do it, Cheryl. What the hell? Sunshine is what you need, says DK. Yeah, exactly. That's all of us need. That road from Ermelo to Pongola. Okay, so I drove that last Friday and then on Sunday on the way back. I'll tell you what, there are very few roads. either in cities or between them in South Africa that I would recommend. Because they're all awful. I mean, we're not even talking potholes, by the way. It's just, it's corrugations the whole way through. You basically can't, you can't drive anywhere outside of Gauteng, Cape Town, or Durban. Frankly, at the moment, Durban, I'm sure, is even worse because of the floods, without having to encounter absolutely terrible roads. So there's just no way around that. So here's Kale, he says, Nonce means child molester. That song by the Cunts is hilarious. Okay, I think you're referring to the Prince Andrew song, which is climbing the charts in the UK at the moment. There's a Lad Bible story about this, which we talked about on the show yesterday. By the way, speaking of things from the internet, just take a listen to this quickly. This is absolutely hilarious and was doing the rounds this week on social media. This is during the Senzo Meyiwa trial, all right? Listen to this from Advocate Tefo.
Because I can put it to you that, yeah, you are doing your utmost best to be evasive and protect the whole what is the best way, Your Lordship? I want to say the fucked up situation.
Did you hear that? Your Lordship, the fucked up situation. That's now how we talk in a court of law in South Africa. Now listen, I mean, on this show we sometimes throw in some foul language. We, you know, sometimes it's appropriate because the best word is fuck or whatever else. But if that's the only word you can come up with for fucked up situation in a court of law, I'm just wondering if the judge would consider that contempt of court. I mean, you could see his face. He was not impressed. But the advocate clearly ran out of words. It's a weird thing because we've had this discussion so many times in the show. I mean, we had it with Lebang just the other day where we were essentially talking about whether or not someone's use of a language indicates that there's, you know, something lacking, perhaps education, perhaps an understanding of the language, or whether that's a direct kind of, you know, follow-on from being unintelligent. And obviously, if you're going to be an advocate, the use of language is a fairly important instrument in your arsenal. So you may well ask, you know, if you don't necessarily have a good grip on the language, is being an advocate necessarily the best job for you? I mean, that's the only thing I would ask. There are lots of jobs where you don't need to be very proficient in English or in any other language, but you have to ask yourself, is being an advocate of the Supreme Court, an officer of the courts of South Africa, is that the best possible job for you? And I would say in this case, probably not. Okay, lots of comments who are comments that are coming in from people who have comments on the lineup. Paul says Buckabantu is great, would be great as a stand-in. Also, just realized you don't read Facebook comments. Oh, I do. Don't worry, Paul. I do. They're just not as regular, and they're not as many of them as on YouTube. So it's probably the best thing you could possibly do is to get us on YouTube. Gary has an idea. He says, here's an idea for your show. Maybe to have a small business owner on your show once a week to pump their business. Just an idea. Actually, Gary, that is part of what we do on Unbundled, which you may have heard Yaku, who's been on this show a couple of times, and he does his own show on a Tuesday morning. He actually does exactly that. So he gives advertising space, effectively, to small businesses. Steph says, why doesn't the GCS do an international tour visiting overseas listeners? What is what are we the Rotary Club or something? Why would we do that, Steph? I don't see why I should come to foreign countries to see people like you. Why don't you come back here and see us? One of these is much easier than the other. I think you'll guess which one I'm talking about. All right. Paul says Buckabantu is great. Definitely a great idea for Tuesdays. Yeah, he's smart. I like him because he's got very, very well-formed opinions. And he's young, you know, early 20s. Smart guy. Stone Philosopher says, G, put Vicks or tea tree oil in a bucket with boiled water, put a cloth over your head, and breathe in the steam. It works like a charm. Facial sauna. If someone walked into a room and I was bent over a bucket with boiled water and Vicks or tea tree oil in it, and I had a cloth over my head, they would think I was making muti, you know? They'd think I was doing something illegal, probably. All right, lots of people with plenty of home remedies here. DK says, Gareth, if you really want natural treatment, get some Wainwright. What the hell is Wainwright? And wormwood leaves. Amazing healer and super fast results. Wainwright fixed my son's Rona in 2 days. All right. Well, Nico did bring up that I was in northern KZN last week. It's a part of the country I've never been in before. And as I said, this is a year to explore. It's a year for me to do new things, to get out there a little bit. And I will tell you, like, the most beautiful countryside. We were at a private game lodge called Bayala, which is near Pinda, for those people who are geographically literate. The coast is within visual range if you're up on high ground. So on the Friday night, we went up for a game drive and, like, you know, they set up this whole beautiful area on the top of the mountain for drinks. And you can actually see, if you look eastward, you can see the sand dunes of Sidwana, which is magnificent. I mean, the view from up there is just absolutely breathtaking. And then if you look west, you look deep into the heart of Zululand, which is, you know, an area that's so filled with history. They've reclaimed lots and lots of land there. So what has happened is that farmers who used to farm pineapple or bananas or whatever else, they've turned it into essentially game bush again. So they've pulled out all those plants. They've let nature take its course. They've let the bush grow back. And they have everything there. They've got the big five. So they've got lions, leopard. We saw buffalo. I didn't see leopard, but I did see lion. Buffalo. They've apparently got elephants, although I didn't see any. And you've got to be so careful in places like that because elephants will destroy an area within minutes. They've got rhino, apparently. I didn't see any of those either. Black and white rhino. What's the other part of the big five? What am I leaving out? Lion, leopard, buffalo, rhino. They've also got cheetah, which is interesting. Not part of the big five, but a very cool thing to see. Gareth, your next stop should be the Karoo. The history is unbelievable. Start in Prince Albert. Yeah. So I've got friends, family friends who've been farming in the Southern Free State, which is kind of on the border of the Karoo, for generations. And we often go there, which is magnificent. I mean, near Philippolis in the Free State, just a little bit north of, what's that place called? Where all the, it's basically like a truck stop. something of the sea. You might know what I'm talking about. Elephants number five. What did I leave out of the big five? Lion, leopard, buffalo, elephant, rhino. That's it, right? That's the big five. I remember you guys talking about humidifiers on a recent show. Did you manage to get one? Says Shaq's Life. Yes, I did. I put it on last night. I don't know whether it helps. And I've got to tell you, like, certain nights you just sleep better than others. And obviously this morning is not such a great... Ah, Colesberg. Thank you, Tracy. We are jumping around a little bit. But Colesberg in the Southern Free State, northern part of the sort of flat Klein Karoo area. Lots and lots of fun there. A beautiful part of the world. But oh my God, is that place cold during winter. Yo! You would not catch me dead in the Free State or the Karoo in winter. It's just absolutely abominable. Rebellious Ruth says, Botswana is considering breaking with CITES and allowing poaching again in the news. I don't know if they're allowing poaching, but perhaps allowing hunting in places that they might not have before. That would be interesting. You know, this is, again, one of those controversial areas, and I try not to get into these too many on too many occasions because it just gets people very riled up. Hunting is such an important part of conservation, and people tend to get very, very upset, especially the animal rights activists. I include my sister in all of this. If you talk about hunting, they think it's the opposite of preserving wildlife. But actually, without hunting, many of our game farms, many of our conservancies would not have made it over the last few years. And if there's any group of people who take animals seriously, it's hunters. So it's something to consider. It's not popular. People don't like to talk about it, but it's something to consider. Let us welcome Ben Karpinski. Hello, Ben.
Hi, Gareth. Good morning. You're talking about inconvenient truths again.
Yeah, like whether or not hunting is part of conservation. And, you know, there's no doubt that hunting is a big part of conservation. People just don't like it. That's all.
Yeah, it is a bit unfortunate that you got to kill animals to keep animals alive. It does sound quite counterproductive, but that's how it's always been.
Well, especially if you cull elephants in a place where there are too many elephants, for example, because if you let the elephant population get too big, they absolutely break and destroy every single tree taller than your knee.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a reality, and people don't like to talk about, you mustn't kill anything, let nature take its course. The fact is that without the commensurate number of predators, without an enormous range, these animals need to be managed. And it's become a very, very delicate science to manage them. We were talking last week about Wilbur Smith. I mean, you've been reading lots and lots of those things. Funnily enough, I met someone else over the weekend, last weekend, who's a big Wilbur Smith fan. So I think it's all pointing to the fact that I've got to read these books. Get on.
No, they're really good. The one I'm reading currently starts off with the 50 elephant cull, actually.
Wow.
Interesting. But, you know, there used to be a lot more sort of culls, controlled culls in the Kruger National Park.
Really?
There's far too many elephants in the park, according to this game ranger that I was with last year. And unfortunately, what happens is that, as you say, they ruin the habitat for everyone else.
Yeah.
And you remember not so long ago, I think it was Botswana, like 200 elephants just suddenly died. And Mother Nature has a way of also doing this if we don't have the ability to do it. So it is just, as Elton John always said, Gareth, you know, the greatest conservationist himself, you know, the circle of life. And we've got to appreciate it. We've got to be a part of it.
Thank God for Elton John.
Yeah. and may his wise words always ring through to every field on earth.
Okay, so I'll admit, yesterday afternoon, I watched a little bit of the Trooping the Colour at the Queen's, what is it called, Platinum Jubilee.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah. It's all pomp and pageantry in England, but this is what people go there for. This is the reason England and Great Britain remains an interesting country, because they're certainly not a powerful force in the world. I mean, they've got the most ridiculous prime minister that ever lived. I love him because he's an eccentric Englishman, but really the English, their power in the world is spent. And they've got this queen.
Yeah,
who, when she became queen, she was queen of an empire all over the world. You know, this vast collection of countries, some of whom had already become independent during her father's reign. But essentially, when she took over, she was probably one of the most powerful people in the world. Now, you can argue that she still has enormous influence, but direct political power, no. And then you watch a spectacle like yesterday, which, I mean, it's beautiful to watch. You see regiments dressed in clothes from probably the late 1800s, and you see them marching around, and you see them on horseback, and doing things that we would never, ever do in the military now, because it's pointless, stupid.
Yeah.
And they'll be taken out like like arrow fodder. But it's beautiful to see. And then this tiny little woman comes out on a balcony. She's 96 years old, and she does a little wave, and the people go crazy. Like, millions of people spread out across the Victoria Memorial in front of Buckingham Palace, up Pall Mall, under the trees. You know, people who probably haven't left their house for like 2.5 years come out to see this lady. You've got to admit, there's something to it.
Oh, always. I've been a massive fan of Lizzie from the beginning.
Lizzie's
and,
good.
Know, it's that kind
Lizzie's
of,
good.
And it's that kind of pomp that we lack nowadays, because it's important not to see things in isolation all the time. People will look at that and go, oh, what a waste of money, this colonial bitch, blah, blah, blah. And there'll be all of these stupid hot takes about Lizzie. But if you understand what it was all, I mean, we all know that the royal families are all, it's just a bunch of bullshit, basically. Sure. Someone grabbed power.
Sure.
I mean, you can go into like the more extreme cases here in Africa where there's like royal families. Come on. It's just people who were smarter and more diligent and more dubious than the rest.
Or stronger. Just stronger.
Or stronger. Ultimately stronger, because they had the money to then hire the sort of hired guns, so to speak.
Sure.
But I think Lizzie's still relevant. She's still really important. And through all the bad press and all these different sort of things, and yes, she doesn't have political power, so to speak, but she was instrumental in so many different things that happened in the world. Her diplomacy, her vision, her basic understanding of just right and wrong, I think, was always pretty good, and she was quite consistent. Not like she wanted this job. I mean, she was thinking about knitting and kittens like any other good woman back in the 30s was doing. And then suddenly she had to take over from her dad.
Correct.
So I think that there's so much credit this woman needs. And it always goes back to that great saying I heard recently, we discussed it already, that people love to just try to topple things over, try to make them fall. But before you want to make something fall, understand why it rose in the first place. And like Lizzie went through the world, like Second World War. I mean, she had to have tough conversations with Churchill. She had all manner of people come in and out of that house of hers.
Yeah.
Buckingham Palace. Yeah, she acquitted herself wonderfully throughout.
Listen,
she's an absolute gem.
I've been fortunate enough to meet her a couple of times, and she is she's a very ordinary woman. She knows that she didn't become queen because she won a competition, or because she had the highest marks at school, or because she's the smartest, or she she has the quickest brain, or the greatest sense of humor, or the best looks, or whatever. She knows. She knows she's there because she was George VI's eldest daughter. And, you know, this is the fun thing about monarchy, and we can see this even in, you know, local versions of it, like the Zulu kingdom, where Misuzulu is the new king. I mean, he was probably enjoying his life as a student in the U.S. He probably didn't think about it. Suddenly, his dad dies and he has to come back and become king. Now, I know lots of people throw stones at things like the monarchy. As you rightly point out, Ben, they often don't know what to replace it with, but they just know it's got to go, which is a terrible attitude because we can't destroy and dismantle things that have been there for generations if you don't have an idea of what you want to replace it with. Otherwise, you're just being destructive.
And well, if you look at a more extreme example, you sort of look at Libya. Sure, Gaddafi was bad, but what now?
Well, exactly. But I look at this old lady, and I see that she, you know, she's performed her duties and her allotted task in life just so well. I mean, if you have a job because you want to do that job, and you do a great job of it, people go, well done, that's terrific. If you have a job because no one else will do it, people also go, terrific. But if you just have a job thrust upon you, as she did, and it's a strange kind of job. I mean, a lot of it is smoke and mirrors and PR and waving and cutting ribbons and opening hospitals. I mean, a lot of it's very dreary work with a lot of awful, awful people I'm sure she wouldn't like to spend time with. But she does it beautifully. If you asked me to go and open hospitals, I'd be good at it for about 3 hospital visits, and then I'd really fucking hate it. And she does this, and she's been doing this for 70 years. Point to anybody in any job in the world who's done it for 70 years. I don't think there are a lot of people.
Yeah.
So let her have a moment in the sun. But it is interesting what the royal family is costing the people of Britain. And they do complain about this from time to time. What's even more interesting is who they think is cool and who they think is not. So they did a poll. This is Statista, which the net favorability of selected British royal family members in 2021. So basically they've ranked the British royal family and members of the British royal family according to how popular they are. All right. So The Queen is obviously the most popular by a long way and by a wide margin. She's 70% popular, according to them, in terms of net favorability. Next up is Prince William, who comes in at 61%. Then Catherine, who's Duchess of Cambridge, she's at 55%. Also very popular.
That's his wife.
That's his wife. She used to be a gypsy, but then she became
the gypsy. Yes. Okay. Well, coming with Catherine, you could have just said the gypsy secondhand washing machine salesperson.
But I mean, really, she's fantastic compared to some of the people lower down the rung. Princess Anne.
She toes the line. She's assumed her role.
Correct, and she does a very good job of it too. She produced three very lovely little sprogs, who had their first outing together in a carriage yesterday. There are three of them. I think there's George, Charlotte, and Louis, who's the youngest. So Louis's never been out in public before, and you could see why. Still very badly behaved, but cute kids. And they are the future of the monarchy, obviously, because they're the sons and daughters of the eldest son of the eldest son of the current monarch. So in the end, all these other people will disappear into insignificance. No one's going to remember most of these people, but they will remember those three kids in another 50 to 100 years when they end up in the position that the current queen is in. So Prince William and Catherine, very, very popular. Princess Anne, very popular because she's a workhorse, if you'll pardon the pun. She gets on
with it. I thought she was a horse. She's not an actual horse.
No, but she's very popular.
I'm learning so much here from this
child. Well, listen, there's lots to learn. Prince Edward, quite popular. Prince Charles, also around the same.
Whoa, easy. Wait, hang on. Who's Prince Edward?
What?
Who's Prince Edward?
He's the...
Gareth, you must remember, not everyone is as knowledgeable or read as you.
So the Queen has three sons and a daughter.
Okay.
Eldest son is Charles. He'll inherit the throne.
Yes. And there's, yes, know that
there's
one.
Anne, who's the only daughter, Princess Royal. Then there's Andrew, who's obviously the pedo. And then the youngest son is Edward. Edward, who married Sophie, and they've got two kids. And Edward has assumed a whole lot more responsibilities since Harry and Meghan fucked off to America.
Of course,
Going back to the chart, now we get to the least popular royals. So after Prince Charles, about half of his value is Camilla, who the Queen has said she would love to see as the next Queen consort. In other words, you know, Charles's partner. I've always said she's the real fairy tale. People like Princess Diana, but to me, Camilla is the real love story. If you really care about love, you know, she was Prince Charles's fling, and he always had a thing for her
from the beginning.
Yeah, and they love each other.
And just to note that when Lizzie does go, the national anthem won't be to Camilla. It'll be God Save the King.
Yes, correct. Absolutely spot on. So you get Camilla at the bottom of the populars, and then you get the unpopular one. So at minus 13%, you get Prince Harry. Minus 13%, you get Meghan. Those two, not very popular at all. And then minus 56%, Prince Andrew.
Wow, see, being a pedo never pays. Hey? We've always said this on the show, Gareth. There we go. Another confirmation on that.
Yeah, I'm not very popular. Not a good thing. So there we are. In case you were wondering which royals are popular and which ones will go on, that's the confirmed list. All right, so Ben introduced me to something this week which I didn't know about at all. Someone called the Liver King. I've never seen this guy in my life. He looks like primitive man. I mean, I've never seen this human being before, but the Liver King is this guy. He only eats organ meat. He's some kind of alpha male fitness fanatic. Tell me about him, because I know nothing about this dude.
Well, yeah, he eats lots of liver, obviously, eats a lot of organs, but he also eats a lot of high-value protein, like a lot of steaks and all those kinds of things. But his whole take on this world is that we should live like our ancestors. And I get a lot of stick from people because I'm a fan of Liver King, and you get really smart people who always debunk what he says. And a lot of the stuff he does say is horse shit or liver shit, call it what you want. But, I've made with this whole trying to prolong my own fitness journey, all these kind of strength things, which is hard.
Yeah.
You need little hooks. You need certain things to keep you going. So I've created this extra account on Instagram, and every week I put like a mindset video out Now, I would say mindset because I'm not skilled, I'm not qualified to tell people what to eat or how to train. So, well, for me, it's like, how do you get the right mindset to be like this guy?
Jesus.
Excellent. Look at him. Okay, screams so, excellent.
Let me just describe.
He also screams.
Let me just describe this man to people who are not watching on YouTube because a lot of people just listen to the podcast. All right. So the Liver King looks like he's got a huge, big beard. His skin is kind of strawberry colored. He looks like he shouts a lot. He obviously has very good circulation, Ben, but you see just veins. He wears a baseball cap and pretty much nothing else. I mean, he's usually half naked. And he eats the insides of animals. He doesn't eat the outsides of animals or the muscle that the rest of us eat. Or does he as well? I mean, he eats most.
He does.
The reason he's called the Liver King is because he eats lots of livers. Is that right?
Yeah, and he believes in organ meat, and he eats pancreas and testicle and all those kinds of things because he wants to be like the ancestors. Okay. So, like I was saying, I made a video this week about why this guy is great. And, of course, people now, like, take me on about it. It's like, yeah, but he talks a lot of shit. He's on steroids, which I don't really care about because what he does is that he's the antithesis of Justin Trudeau. He is the opposite of a shitty politician who tells you to basically stay home and stay safe. This guy, like, he's got really actually good ideas. Fundamentally, he believes in not a lot of screen time. He believes in getting outside, the sunshine, lifting weights. But because he's a character as a part of a company, it's called Ancestral Supplement, I think, is his company. And they make millions, these guys. They're super smart.
Okay.
So he went – I mean, he only got into social media like a year ago. He's already like 2 million followers on TikTok and Instagram. And, yes, he uses social media completely to leverage his company. So I'm under no illusion that this guy is doing it because he wants people to be better. But there's also a certain part when you look past all the sort of extremes. You know, you look past him like digging into a raw liver. Like, I don't believe in eating raw food. I think we're better than that as humans.
Yeah.
I also don't believe in eating pancreas and spleen.
These are parts of you that do a specific function. They're there for cleaning out the system. I mean, especially in the case of the kidneys. I mean, a lot of people I know love eating liver and kidneys, right? They are available commercially pretty much everywhere. You go to a butcher and you can ask for liver and kidneys. But the liver is your body's filtration system. It puts things into the blood and it takes things out of the blood that you should and shouldn't have in there. And I don't know how doctors feel about this, but I'm not a big fan of liver. I don't like the taste of it. I don't know how to cook it. It's not something that I would think about. I certainly wouldn't eat it raw. Same goes for kidneys. Yeah. They're a way to filter the blood and clean out the crap. The pancreas has a very particular function in respect of diabetes, which I don't know that eating that stuff is necessarily good for you. It's like, what's your next step? Brains? Tripe?
Well, exactly. When I first got introduced to tripe, I just thought this was the stupidest thing you could do as a human because when you cook it, you basically ruin a house. You have to burn the house down afterwards because it stinks so much.
It's disgusting.
And I know people eat, and this is the world over, people eat what they have access to, okay? So they don't always have access to or the means to buy a nice ribeye, which I believe is the best thing to eat because I like it.
I'm with you.
So you eat what's around you. And now Liver King is basically saying, let's go back to ancestral eating. And my ancestors were probably eating cabbage, let's be honest. I'm a Polak deep down. I'm not going back to their ancestral life. I don't think that they could even find a goat in like a good day. So a lot of it is like, it's like a fitness pomp and pageantry. And people will call him out on it. And I agree. There's a lot of horseshit that comes out of the guy's mouth. But there's, again, going back to the queen thing, trying to look at things in isolation, try to look at it in the greater scheme of things. What we established during COVID is that people lie to us all the time. And then we have to now believe this and now just follow suit. Liver King lies. Of course he does, because he wants to make money. Every single person, every single man on this earth wants to get paid and wants to get laid. And everything they do revolves around those things a lot of the time. And the more you get paid, the better your chances of getting laid. So people are looking at him and going, oh, but he's so misleading. It's like, well, of course he is. He's trying to make money. But if you look at everything else, like crypto is actually horseshit, right? A lot of the time it's so volatile. You don't know where it's going up or down. But I think it's still better than Biden pressing the money machine, right?
Yeah.
So right. everything in this world is tainted, it's jaded, and it's got a different sort of motive. Liver King believes in minimal screen time, lifting weights every single day, getting out into the sun, eating high protein. He's not a soy vegan telling you that an animal doesn't have to die for you to have a meal. You know, horse shit like that comes out of people's mouths and they regress as humans. This dude's like just living flat out, and he has the greatest setup in the world. Yeah, he has a big house on a lake, and he's just, I think he's having a good time.
Ben, the less you rely on technology, on government, on other people, on shops, the happier and the likelier you are to survive long term. Sure. I'm not saying all of that's likely to fall apart, but I do think that there's a healthy balance. I mean, I just can't bring myself to. Have you started eating liver, for example? I mean,
I've always eaten liver. I now eat mostly beef liver. I believe it's a good source of protein.
All right.
Bone marrow. I've kind of believed in that, and there's some decent research around that from what I've gone through.
Not raw, though. You cook this stuff.
I don't do anything raw. Anything raw I have is broccoli. Yeah. That's the only thing that's controversial
one of those guys,
in my diet.
You're not one of those guys who cracks an egg raw into your mouth. And,
no,
I mean,
no.
Jesus, I couldn't do that. I'd throw up.
No, I don't think it's smart. Mm-hmm. You know, especially, like, unless you are literally killing the animal and taking the contents and eating it, you don't know where it's been.
Yeah.
The listeriosis outbreak in this country was bad enough for me to always want to cook my meat.
Exactly.
No, I mean, I think what you must always do is you take little positives from everything. I think Liver King, just like everything else out there, just like a doctor who talks on TV, assess what they're saying, try to take the good out of it, but ultimately they're probably talking bullshit to you. And I still think Liver King's great. He's entertaining. He touches on some really strong subjects. But what I've learned from my personal fitness journey is that you should be able to stress test anything out there.
Sure.
I take it to the next level with my friends, and I always call like certain friends of mine subprimals because they're not eating raw pancreas. But that's a joke, and that's something that is really funny in the gym. Yeah, I mean, this kind of badge is great because, again, it goes back to the fact that men should be giving each other shit. And men should be just challenging stuff and just being raw and like that kind of stuff. That's why I love Liver King.
Sure.
The guy's an absolute look. He looks like he's about to burst into flames, and he's probably. I mean, he's been doing this for about 20 years, according to his backstory. Okay, but again, like he's just. I just love the spirit of the dude. I really do. And people want to hate on him, but at the same time, these dickheads are queuing up for booster shots the fucking vaccine.
Okay, so let's go from the sublime to the ridiculous. So this is a clip that's been doing the rounds again. I love this. It made me laugh all day yesterday. I know that Ben loves this too. We'll play it for you, and then we'll talk it through. So this is a clip from one of those doctor shows on TV, right? There's this morbidly obese woman. And I think her mom, I think it's her mom, right? Or who knows? Her sister.
I don't know. She looks quite young. She could be like a disgruntled daughter or something.
Who knows? Anyway,
there's so many questions here.
This enormously fat person and the doctor. And the doctor's trying to explain to the fat person why she's fat. And really, there's no mystery here. But for some reason, some people are confused. So you take a look, and then I'll talk you through it. Yeah, here we go.
And there's a simple math. You're eating too much, you're not going to lose weight. Which part of this is very hard to understand, that she's eating at least four times of what she should be eating. So why are we overeating in a plane like we don't know what's going on?
But she didn't overeat. She's still eating.
You want to argue that with the scale? Don't argue with me.
But she argued that with the scale. She couldn't ever eat. I gave her proportioned meals, and it's the same as I've always given her. The only thing that we know that might have been different is she quit eating the vinaigrette and ate honey mustard dressing.
She ate, a gallon of honey mustard?
Now, I don't know how much she put on her salad.
The 2 cups.
But I can tell you that's the only difference.
So she's gaining from thin air, right?
Well, I don't know how she done it.
All right, so there we go. All right, so this woman is enormous. I mean, she's got like 3 or 4 vaginas on her knees. She's so big. There's folds and flaps and things there that just they shouldn't be there. And the doctor's saying, well, what, is she gaining weight from thin air? And the mom or sister or caretaker or nurse or whoever that other woman is says, oh, it must be, it's got to be 2 cups of honey mustard, which we're giving her as a salad dressing instead of the vinaigrette. That's what she says. 2 cups.
Well, I find it quite interesting to start because the doctor himself is no slender wonder, and he says, it looks like you're eating 4 times as much as you should. 4, or like 44.
Anyway, they're all horrified. I mean, even the doctor's like, well, I don't know what we're gonna do here. You need to eat less, and she's like, but I'm eating so little. Meanwhile, she takes up 3/4 of the room, and the other one is like, well, it's got to be the salad dressing because we've cut out all the other stuff. It's just amazing how, and then there's this moment where the very fat girl looks at the camera and she's got like this deer in the headlights look on her face, which is, for me, and I'm going to save this picture for the rest of my life, but it's like this, it can't possibly be my fault. Look, it's like, what you, it's like when you catch her with her arm halfway into the fridge to grab like, you know, what do they call a pork belly? And she's about to digest. You talk about raw meat. I think this girl could take in, I don't know, the liver, the heart, the pork belly, the whole fucking thing. She could probably swallow it in one breath. And she's got this look in her face like, no, it can't be me. It must be the world. It must be someone else. It must be, you know, the system. There's something in the system that is doing this to me. It can't possibly be me. That's what she looks like she's saying.
But you know, you said that like she's grabbing an entire pig out of the fridge. If she were to eat the entire pig, she probably wouldn't look like that. What she's eating there is like soy and cake. Cereal. And cake. She's eating like a child, basically, on huge quantities. Again, goes back to Liver King. He's eating animal. Okay. And like all these incredibly obese people, Gareth, if they were eating like what you think is going to make them fat, they'd probably be fine. This is the thing. Like, if they were eating animal products, it'd be great. But they're not. They're eating pizza, they're eating doughy things, they're eating things with seed oils and all kinds of other shit, which is messing them up hormonally. Yeah.
So every time anyone won't take personal responsibility for things, I'm just going to put this picture on the screen. That's all. The moment, whether it's in the burning platform or when we have a guest or anybody and they just can't take responsibility for anything and they try and blame the world, I'm just going to put that picture up. It's like, no, it can't be me.
It's a look of shock and horror, but that size doesn't happen overnight. Although, obviously, things get hammed up for TV, but she looks surprised. You can't be surprised when, like, that's years and years of just treating your body like a toilet.
Absolutely. 100%. Okay, so, Ben, Amber Heard's net worth has been published post the trial. I don't know if you want to talk about Amber Heard at all. We've got, like, 3 minutes left of this, but she's now minus $8 million. Because she was probably around 15. Sure. If she'd just taken the money from Johnny's settlement and run instead of having written that horrible op-ed, she'd be better off now. She's now worth minus $8 million, according to the latest statistics. And not to miss a moment to pile on China, you know, when Ben is on the show, I saw you you shared this on social media. The countries that are polluting the ocean the most. So, all the environmentalists, I hope you're taking note, because a lot of people complain about America or about South Africa or about any other country in the civilized world, when the country that is by far the biggest polluter, it is double its next nearest competitor for ruining the oceans with plastic. China, 3.53 million tons of bullshit goes in, mismanaged plastic waste, 8.8 million tons of plastic marine debris. It is a disgrace what China is doing to the oceans. The next worst offender after China, which is probably half of them, even less than half, is Indonesia, then the Philippines, then Vietnam, and then Sri Lanka. And none of the other countries even come close.
So I'm not going to, you know, try to be devil's advocate here, but there's other countries on the list. That's just Australians going to their beaches and putting shit in the oceans like beer cans and bottles. So they almost get a free pass in my mind. But it's China is just it's just dreadful what they are doing and will keep on doing. and they get away with it every single time, and they still haven't paid for anything, any of it, Gareth.
No.
And it's just, it's wrong.
Correct.
And I hate the fact that the moment you say that, it's like that Jabba the Hutt who just showed on the screen, people will say, oh, you can't be so horrible to her. It's like she's killing herself, and the people who care for her are killing her too. We've got to call that on. China's killing the world. Mm-hmm. They're trying to.
Mm-hmm.
They are just, it's just dreadful what they do, what their government does.
Yeah.
I'm sure the people are quite nice. Well, probably not. But more needs to be said about this. You know, we people are so happy to give lip service to Greenpeace and all these other great things like, oh, you know, they're cleaning up the ocean. It's so great. Yeah, okay, well, can we go to the source and maybe use that goodwill energy to turn it onto, like, fuck you energy, the people who are causing it? People never go to the source in anything. It's just too inconvenient. It's too difficult.
You know what? I think you're spot on. I mean, China must pay. They've still got to pay for coronavirus, which they haven't done. But
long overdue.
Unfortunately, we've got to leave this for a moment. It's 7 o'clock. When we come back, we've got Jason Goliath joining us. I'm very excited to have him back on the show. Loads of things to talk to him about. Stick around. CliffCentral.com. Friday morning. I hope your day is off to an awesome start.
Hooray!
Hooray!
CliffCentral.com.